Good morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Better Lawns and Gardens. Is the amazing Lizzie Steele. She's here with her magic behind the scenery. And good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. I really should just start paying you to, you know, be my hype man. So that is like the best hype ever that you give me. So thank you for that.
We are wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. It's going to be bad weather today, so be careful if you're out in the roads delivering packages or buying presents, and be careful of flooding. It's going to be an amazing day for rainfall all across the state. You're going to get a little bit here and there, Polk County and Tampa. Possible 3 to 5 inches of rain today. Mm-hmm. And so that's more than we usually get in the whole month of December. So we need it. We've been in a drought flight line right now for the last year. And so we definitely need to, get this rainfall. We need it because we didn't have really very many tropical storms or hurricanes.
No, we didn't.
And so that's where we get the majority of our rainfall from. And so we do need this rain with this El Nino weather pattern. Let's hear from John Denver. Dirty word of the day.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day coincides with the wintertime. Vernalization. Vernalization comes from the Latin vernus of the spring, and it's the induction of the plant's flowering process by exposure to the prolonged cold of winter or by an artificial equivalent. The first known use of vernalization was in 1933. So many plants that are grown in temperate climates like Florida require vernalization and must experience a period of low winter temperatures to initiate or accelerate the flowering process. This ensures that the reproductive development and seed production occurs in spring and winters rather than in autumn. The needed cold is often expressed in chill hours. Typical vernalization temperatures are between 34 and 45 degrees Fahrenheit. For many perennial plants and fruit tree species, a period of cold is needed first to induce dormancy, and then later, after the requisite period of time, reemerge from that dormancy prior to flowering. Vernalization can be brought on for your bulbs by keeping the bulbs in the refrigerator for 10 to 12 weeks or more. Some species need the longer days of winter, as well as cold temperatures, to go from vegetative state to producing flowers and fruits. Species that require vernalization include apples and peaches, pears, nectarines and plums, tulips and hyacinths, crocuses and daffodils. The dirty word of the day is vernalization. And so, that is just the cold before the springtime. Citrus trees need a little bit of that cold weather, the chill hours, so they can produce the fruit and, get that sweetness. And so if you're growing apples or peaches and pears, definitely need to have some chill hours. If you would like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So Zone B, Linda in Zone B, 8B, has had two nights of 28 degrees. And so this is common Florida. We have these warm temperatures, and then we have these next day low temperatures. So microclimates, it's important to document that so you kind of know what is happening in your neighborhood. She lives out in the country, 10 acres, and she has no homes for miles around. She has two indoor, outdoor thermometers, and she's always 5 feet below the radar predictions, which she guesses are for the city. So, you know, if you're out in the suburbs, you will experience colder temperatures, and, you know, the winds are going to be strong today, possible tornadoes. So you definitely want to check and make sure you've got your Christmas decorations all, you know, stabilized, and maybe bring them in, you know, your especially the balloon ones that, you know, you blow up with the air. So you definitely want to get those. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Lots of flowers that you could be planting right now. You know, again, it's wonderful to live in Florida. We do have lots of flowering shrubs like plumbago and azaleas that can take the cold temperatures. Other flowers include alyssum and baby's breath. They love the cold weather. Bacopa and begonias, bush daisies and calendula, California poppies and candy tuft, carnation and chrysanthemums. Delphiniums, northern plant there, loves the wintertime here. Dianthus and Dusty Miller, foxgloves and geraniums, godetias and hollyhocks, Iceland poppies, licorice plants, lobelia, million bells, ornamental cabbage and kale, pansies and petunias, salvia, Shasta daisies, snapdragon, stock, verbena, and violas. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go to our calls. Michael, good morning from Melbourne Beach. Merry Christmas.
Good morning and Merry Christmas to everybody. And thank you for what you both do for all of us that don't know what we're doing. I have some, I knew I'd get a laugh somewhere. I have some mango trees. The youngest one is the worst. It's about 8 or 9 feet tall and about 6 feet wide. And I have, it looks like somebody had taken pinkenshears. Now, y'all probably too young to remember what pinkenshears
were. Oh, I know what they are.
All around the outside of the leaf.
Uh-huh.
And I looked for caterpillars. I looked for any kind of bugs that I could see. And I finally found one on the underneath side that was white. And it was a beetle because I tried to squish it, and it was real hard. And its head was sort of, it was an elongated bug. The body was rounder, and then it came down to the head, but it looked like it was all on in one piece, and it was real white. Looked like a piece of snow or something on the, not that I've ever seen snow, but anyway. And I was wondering what I can do. I have bees, so I didn't want to do anything until I talked to y'all, see if maybe you knew something to do. And it's only on the one right now, but I'm scared to death of it getting on the, you know, the fruit-bearing ones.
Of course, of course. Well, what you can do is there are Captain Jack's Bug Brew, which is okay for using on vegetables and fruits, and you can apply that. And then also Seven you can apply on it for insecticides. But, you know, for the bees, if you will, you know, make sure that you're not doing it in the early morning or the heat of the day, then the bees, if you do it later at night, then you're not going to have them get in contact with the spray.
Do you know what that would be? The beetle, do you know what that
no,
would
I
be?
No, I don't really have the name right off the top of my head.
Okay.
I just know that, you know, you want to get insecticide that is good for vegetables, for edibles. Okay, and there's products for that. Safer has them. Also, Bioadvance has a fruit tree spray that you can put on it that is good for using on ornamentals and fruits. Bioadvance, and then also too, you just want to make sure that they like the new leaves the best, and
right,
so applying it pre-emergently so that you before they get there is the best way to do it.
Again, I appreciate it. You know, she told me you knew absolutely everything, and so I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry
Same
Christmas. Thank you so much. Let's go to Brenda in Melbourne, too. Good morning, Brenda. Is it raining there yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, be careful, because they said Melbourne, the coast, is going to get hit. So.
Yeah, we're supposed to get a lot of rain.
There you go. What's your question?
Okay, I brought a lilac from Virginia Beach, Virginia, to Melbourne. And during the summer, it lost all of its leaves. And now that the weather is turning cold, they're starting to come back a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do I do during the summer to keep them, the leaves from falling off?
So how long? Yeah, so Brenda, how long have you lived in Florida?
Oh, since 2011.
Since 2011. Okay, lilacs are beautiful, but they do not grow here in Florida. So it's going to survive, but every summer it's going to lose all of its leaves and may die because it can't take the heat or the humidity. So what I would suggest is enjoying it now with its new leaves and just seeing what happens. But it just really, they just don't do well here at all, hon. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I love my lilac.
I know. We love them too and wish we could grow them, but they just do not grow here, especially they're salt tolerant. So, you know, you would think that they would do well in Melbourne, but it's the heat and the humidity. They do not take it well, and that's when they lose their leaves. And so it's one thing, I mean, they're growing back now, but after a couple of years, it's just not going to thrive. So do your best and keep in touch with me. Let me know how long it lives and, you know, give it lots of encouragement. But there's nothing you can do about it's losing its leaves. The humidity and the heat, they just can't take.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry. That's a bummer.
It's so beautiful. She's a light blue one.
Oh.
She was all in bloom when I brought her. And I was like, oh, she's going to be so beautiful.
Yeah. We would love them. But no, they just don't do well here in Florida, especially in Central Florida. Thank you. Merry Christmas, Brenda. This is such sad news. Always check, you know, areas when you bring plants down from up north if they will grow in Florida. The lilacs are definitely one that will not survive here.
Right, right.
I always try and push it too because I have zone envy. And that zone envy is when you want plants to grow in your area that will not survive.
That's me with like Fraser firs and blue spruce.
That I buy blue spruces often. Did you know that? I go up to North Carolina and I find the cutest little blue spruce, and it just is so beautiful, and I bring it down.
And you kill it.
Well, we just have a talk on the way down in the car, and I tell him it's only going to live for 3 to 5 months, 6 months at the tops. But for 6 months, I have a blue spruce in my yard.
I'm so proud of you.
I call it my $75 annual. You know, it's not going to last. But for 6 months, I have one in my yard.
Look at you.
So we have a text message. Have 10 cherry tomato plants in 7-gallon pots with drain holes at the bottom. They're in full sun. They're growing big and full with green fruit just starting, then just started withering and failing. Had been watering regularly. What do you think happened? Well, I don't know. Cocoa Beach, I would wonder if you had a cold snap that we had a few weeks ago that got really, really cold, and whether that did any damage, that would be what I would think would do it. So I really can't tell you without seeing pictures on it. It could have gotten a disease, wilting, but other than that, I would have to see pictures. But the cold snap definitely will. Let's go to Tom in Merritt Island. Good morning, Tom.
Yeah, good morning. So some critters are digging small holes in my lawn and in my garden and in the deep mulch under my mango trees. And I'm pretty certain it's armadillo because it's done only at night, and that rules out squirrels. And the critters have left their feces behind, and it's way too big to be rats.
Right.
So I suspect it's armadillos. And I have had some success in putting down the hot pepper powder.
Uh-huh.
That seems to scare them away. But that's kind of expensive, and I'm wondering if there's a cheaper repellent.
No, definitely not. Tell me, do you have a lot of earthworms in your yard?
Not a huge number of earth. Well, I have very rich soil from composting, but I have more millipedes than earthworms.
Right. That's what the armadillo's coming after. It's getting that food source. They do like earthworms. They do like millipedes. And so, you know, that's what they're coming after. The good news is they're aerating your soil. The bad news is that you got these holes in your yard.
I have more millipedes because I water with gray water, and I think that chases the earthworms away because it got soap in it.
Yeah.
And I did find 5 pounds of hot pepper powder on Amazon for $24, so I'm probably going to splurge on that.
Yeah, I would definitely say that, but I that's not going to be a long-term solution. I mean, you know, it is something that could work. But let me know how you do, because armadillos are kind of hard to get rid of once they're there. You can't.
Yeah, the only other thing I was thinking of was putting down 7-powder and killing their food, but I'd rather not do that because A, it's expensive, and B, I prefer to be organic.
Right. No, I appreciate that. So, let me know how you do. And that hot pepper sauce, you know, if it works, that'll be great. That'll be your, I think, the least expensive and most organic way to do it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Thank you for listening, Tom. Merry Christmas. And so,
listeners, if y'all are calling, the phone lines are blowing up, which we'd greatly appreciate. But just keep calling because I'm trying to get to them as fast as I can.
That's great. And so, please keep calling 1-888-455-2967. After the break today, after this next segment, I'm going to be talking about how to care for your Christmas plants that you've gotten in. And so you may have gotten them as a gift. Or as a, you know, just for decorating your house and your yard. And I'm going to give you a few tips on how to keep that growing. If you would like to go to our Facebook page and like it, that would be the best Christmas present. Give us 5 stars, Better Lawns and Gardens. It's also where we upload the show. You can get the podcast if you missed it. And you can get all the shows in the past that you have missed. You can listen to them at any time, 24/7. Wherever you hear podcasts. So you can hear it on iHeartRadio. You can hear it on betterlawns.com, our webpage. And you can just download it. Then you can also subscribe. And that way you'll get notified when they are uploaded. Let's go to Diane in Tallahassee. Good morning, Diane. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
How can I help you?
Okay, I'm just really excited about the bay leaf thing. I have a bay tree and never knew quite what to do with all the branches. So
yes.
I will bring them in. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
The other thing I want to ask about is the basil. Okay, I cannot keep basil going. I buy the little plants in the grocery store or wherever, whatever store,
uh-huh.
and they never do well. So how can someone have one that's 6 feet tall?
I know. She's incredible, right? Leah's incredible. Okay. So, you know, you want to make sure when you bring them home, what kind of pot they're in. You want to make sure that they're getting adequate water, that they have good soil, and that they're in full sun. But they don't take the heat too well. So they like, you know, just a little bit of morning sun, afternoon shade, and, you know, lower temperatures. So I would just have to wonder about your practices. What time of the day do you water at? You know, how much do you water? Are you fertilizing it? You know, that kind of thing. So what are you doing when you bring them home?
Well, I keep them in the house for a little while until they get sad, and then I take them outside, and they get sadder.
There's a big clue, Diane. There's a real big clue.
So my question is, are there different varieties of basil?
No. There's no? African blue basil. You know, there's different varieties. There's opal basil, onyx basil, and so there's just different varieties of them, but not one that's going to do well indoors. Not really.
Okay. So take them outside more quickly
when
I buy them.
Yes. I would take them outside from day one. That's what I would do.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Diane. Merry Christmas. And Mike, do we have time to take Mike? No, Mike, hang on. You're in Venice. We'll be right with you. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Merry Christmas, Mike. How are you?
So to you and Lizzie both.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's you can imagine we're all smiles down here on the Sun Coast because it's been so dry. We're going to get some rain, and we're so happy about that.
Oh, I thought of you the first when I saw the map and the rain heading your direction. I said, wonderful.
Yeah. I wanted to thank you for your guest you had a week or so back about the Cobra Head cultivator.
Uh-huh.
It turned out to be the perfect gift for my son and his fiancée out in Boulder. They bought a new home over the past year, and they're going to be doing some gardening this spring. And the clay out there, the soil, is impossible to work with. So he received it already. I got both the small hand one and the one on the pole, and they're real excited to get out there and create the garden. So thank you for that.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate that. That's really great. It is a really good tool. I know Tony loves using it, and it's just it makes working in the ground so much easier. So wonderful.
Yeah, so looking forward to the new year. There's a lot going on. I know down here we had the worst weed in our whole development. Have you ever heard of purslane being a weed?
Yes.
Well, we were deluged, our landscape company, all year long, all summer. We think it might have been blown in by Hurricane Ian. We don't know, but fortunately, it was the kind of weed that you could pull out real easily in our sand, but you'd be surprised. It just took over everything.
It's amazing how just one season, something just pops up that it just came in, and usually it is coming from the storms or, you know, the winds that come through. So, yeah, no, purslane, it's a pretty flower, but it can, you know, there's a cultivar of it that is a weed, and it just gets everywhere. So I'm glad that you've got your landscaping company on it. So wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Teresa, we certainly enjoy your show down here. I passed your word along as often as I can. So keep up the good work. Hope you all have a good, happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Merry Christmas and happy new year to you too as well. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
you and Lizzie.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I sent her my recipe for corn casserole.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to have to get it off of her. That sounds delicious.
Oh, it is so good, but it is not heart healthy, and it's not good for your cholesterol.
Oh, then I know it's delicious.
I'll tell you what, it is one of the best dishes you can make.
Oh, I am definitely getting that recipe. So,
yeah,
so you've got a grow light question.
Yes, I do. Bob bought me an early Christmas present for my African violets.
Okay.
Because they're not getting enough light. So how long do I keep it on for?
Oh, depending on the size of it, okay? So depending on how much heat it puts out and light it puts out, I would say having it on at least 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours will be good.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it puts out a lot of heat.
And how far away is it from the plant?
12 inches.
Yeah.
13.
Yeah, I would then say go ahead and start off with 2 to 3 hours and see how that does for it. And then if not, you can just, you know, up the hours on it.
Okay.
Okay, just all start right off small and just work your way up. And, you know, depending on the variety, you know, text me actual brand and I'll give you more information, okay?
Okay, great.
All right,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, and you're in our thoughts. Thank you so much. Let's go to Reggie in Melbourne. Good morning, Reggie. Merry Christmas. How can I help you?
Merry Christmas to you. I spoke to you probably in October about a lemon tree that a friend of mine gave to me, and you said not to put it in the ground, and then for whatever reason, I neglected it for 2 or 3 weeks and didn't water it at all, so it almost died. I have taken better care of it since then, and it's about 1.5 feet tall and about 8 or 10 inches from the bottom is all green with new growth.
Okay.
The top 6 inches are four twigs that are brown, and I just want to know if I should cut them off and whether I can fertilize or when I can fertilize it.
Okay, so it was really small. That's why I suggested you keep it in the pot until the springtime so that it would survive. And so in case we got any really cold frosts and stuff like that. So I need you to look at it and tell me where it's green and where it's growing from. Is it growing below the graft or above the graft? That's going to be very important. Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm not at home right now.
No, that's fine. Okay, so but you can call me back next week or the first of the year. You know, call me back and let me know. But if it's below the graft, then that's going to be a sour root stock, and you're not going to really get really good lemons from it. Okay, if it's above the graft, then go ahead and keep growing it, keep it watered. I wouldn't fertilize it right now. I would wait probably till March to fertilize it, get some leaves growing on there, okay, and then let it, kind of recover from the neglect.
Just out of curiosity, how do I tell where the graft is?
The graft is, okay, so when you're looking at the bottom, and you know how trees and shrubs kind of flare at the bottom? You're going to see a swollen part of it that may be, because how tall is it?
Like I said, about 18 inches.
18 inches, I'm sorry. Okay, so down to where it's like 4 to 5 inches above the ground, it may even be 3 inches above the ground, you're going to see a swollen area where it looks like it's kind of been attached to another plant. That's the graft. Okay. Now, also, too, if you want to send me a picture, teresa.watkins@live.com, then I can look at it and tell you where the graft is. Okay. But
say that again for the email, because I tried to text you the picture and I found out you can't do that.
No, we can't do that. Sorry. Teresa, teresa.watkins, watkins, @live.com. And then I'll be able to. At live, LIVE, like you want your plants live.
Okay.
Hey, Reggie, if you'll actually text us and say, hey, this is Reggie, and that's it, it'll show up on our text line, and we can reply back with her email for you, okay?
Okay.
Super. Merry Christmas, Reggie. Thank you so much. So,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. The most popular plants for the Christmas season are usually poinsettias, Norfolk Island pine trees, these are the little trees you get in the pots, rosemary Christmas trees like Lizzie was talking about before, cyclamen, and holiday bulbs like amaryllis, and then succulents like Christmas cactus. So the most important things for you to remember with an indoor plant is the correct watering, the lighting, and good air circulation. This is where you're going to see the most stress, either from overwatering or underwatering, the temperatures in your home from heat, or even the air conditioning, and then overcrowding up against a wall. So when it comes back, we're going to talk about the different types of Christmas plants, how to take care of them, and answering your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967 or text me at 23680. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Better Lawns and Gardens and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Some of the most beautiful Christmas decorations can be your house plants and plants that you bring in to decorate your home. You want to make sure that you keep your holiday plants in a bright indirect light, such as a sunny window. You can also place plants under an incandescent or fluorescent light if the room is too dim. You want to keep the room temperatures cool. The ideal temperatures for all of these plants are between 65 and 75 degrees during the day and 50 and 60s at night. You want to make sure the plants are watered enough to stay evenly moist, but do not overwater. If you have that cellophane wrapping on the bottom of your plant and you're watering your plants, make sure you empty that cellophane paper out. So you want to pull it off the pot, empty it, and then put it back on the pot. You don't want to keep your plants standing in water. And so most of the plants that you have, like the cyclamens and then also the amaryllis, will already be set to bloom. They're going to either have been forced before they are sent to the garden centers. but you will be getting one that's beautiful. And as it grows, you can put the amaryllis in the ground, full sun. They love it here in Florida. You don't have to take them out of the ground each year. Just leave them in the ground and they will multiply. Now, the cyclamens are a different story. Cyclamens like shade and they like it to be cool. And so we can't put them in the ground here in Florida, but you can keep them and oversummer them instead of overwintering them. You can oversummer them in on your patio area. They will go dormant. So when you see your cyclamen starting to decline, don't think that it's dying. Hopefully it's not dying, but if it's going dormant when the temperatures get warmer after it finishes blooming. And so you want to make sure that you just let it go dormant. Do not water it. Keep it dry. And then around August and September of next year, you start watering it again, and it should, rebloom for you. It should keep on growing for you. Now, rosemary trees, they like well-drained soil and drier conditions. Of course, they're a Mediterranean plant. So you want to only water it when the top of the soil is dry. Okay, stick your finger in the pot. If it's cool, moist, or damp, you don't need to water it. Also, too, you want to place it in an area that has a lot of bright light. They can take full sun, so they like the bright light, and a southern window is perfect. You want to keep it away from heater vents and radiators, and also the air conditioners. It will take temperatures down to 20 degrees, so if you want to plant it outside, you can go right ahead. Now, the Norfolk Island pine, we get a lot of people buying these, and they plant them in their yard for Christmas. They get to be 200 feet tall. I'll say that again. They can grow to 200 feet tall. They are tropical, so they get knocked down by the wintertime temperatures. Plant it in an area, if you want to put it in the ground, away from your house. Don't plant it right up close to your house. And then, they like humidity. So they like between 45 and 75 degrees, so they will freeze. So you don't necessarily want to plant them in North Florida. Southern Florida, Key West, Miami area, they will do just fine. Let me take some text messages real quick. John in Palm Bay. When do St. Augustine lawns no longer need 1 inch of water per week? What is the new watering guideline for this time of the year? And when does the 1 inch guideline start again? Thank you, John, for a perfect text message. You gave us your name and your location. St. Augustine lawns need the 1 inch of water a week during our warmest season. And I would say that would be from May through September, October. Okay, so that's the summertime conditions. During the wintertime, when the temperatures are averaging 60, 65 degrees, then they only need that 1 inch of water once every 10 days to 2 weeks. Okay, so it gets cut in half in the wintertime. And so what we usually do here in Florida is when we change our clocks back, okay, we go to once a week watering in the fall. We fall back to once a week watering. Then that's when the 1 inch will happen. And then in the springtime, when we spring ahead, we go to 2 times a week watering. But St. Augustine grass still only needs that 1 inch of water. So you're going to want to calibrate your irrigation systems to doing a half inch if you're going twice a week during the summertime, and then 1 inch during the winter, if we don't get rain. For the next 2 weeks, you're not going to need to water at all, John in Palm Bay. Great question. So to the gentleman needing chili powder, go to the discount store, whether it be BJ's or Sam's or Ollie's, and their big bottles are cheaper. So that's what he wanted to, the gentleman with the armadillos. Who was that? That was the armadillos. Tom in Merritt Island.
Yeah, and I've also, and once I saw that, I was thinking about Ollie's. Oh, Ollie's.
Yes.
I saw their spices, and they were 99 cents for a halfway decent, or $2 for a huge gigantic bottle. And I'm going, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work, Lizzie.
What?
It doesn't work.
Get out of here with shenanigans.
No, It's a nice thing to do, but it doesn't keep the armadillos away.
Oh, biscuits. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, that was John in Volusia County. Thank you, John. So then we do have another listener who says, my neighborhood is covered in Florida snow. That's giant pusley. It's starting to come into my pastures. What can I do to remove it? And it's a listener in Highlands County. And I just have to tell you, I'm just going to give you, because you have pastures and you have cattle, I'm going to tell you, I want you to contact the extension office in Sebring, okay? And that number is 863-402-6540. And contact the ag agent there, okay? Because the herbicides that you can use in pastures and with cattle are different. You're going to want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. So great question. I'm glad you asked. And if you will contact the ag agent in Sebring, Florida, that will be great. That's at the Highlands County Extension Office. And they are a wonderful resource for our gardeners here in Florida. I love doing that. I taught with the University of Florida Extension Office for over just 10 years, and I loved every minute of it. Lizzie, I want to thank Leah Brooks for her Santa Christmas Tower Gardens. If you'd like to contact her, I will be posting a link on her on our webpage or on our Facebook page today, this afternoon. And then also to a big thank you to all of it. Howie in Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland, they have been planting over 1,000 roses to get ready for their spring rose sale.
You mean they're getting ready for me to come shopping?
Yes.
I've been saving all of my change.
So Howie and Karen, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes.
And everyone needs to go to Peterson's Nursery. We'll have them on, and we'll talk about their rose sale in the springtime. We'd like to thank them. Quality Green Specialist Nursery, we would like to wish them a Merry Christmas. They have a great native trees and shrubs and fruit trees to give as Christmas gifts. Get there this week. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to take several home in your car. And we'd like to wish Dana and his lovely Stella a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year too as well. And then all of our great sponsors, Summit Responsible Solutions, they are a wonderful resource.
Mm-hmm.
Mosquito bits and mosquito dunks and year-round oil spray. We appreciate that. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. We love you.
We have the best listeners. And let me explain to you why I feel that you are the best listeners, okay?
Okay.
Not only do you guys come with great questions, nothing's a dumb question, but you also call, and some of you guys give me little jokes before I put you on air, which just makes me just giggle. So thank you for making us laugh and making our job enjoyable.
There you go. And I'll be posting Lizzie's camellia photographs. They are gorgeous. And so you'll get to see those. And then as always, you can go to betterlawns.com and email us your gardening questions. We have a great New Year's show coming up for New Year's. Tom McCubbin and I and Lizzie, we are going to talk about the gardening trends, what happened in 2023, all the dirty words of the day, and what we're going to be doing in the new year.
That's right. It's definitely a not miss show. You can't call in, but you definitely can listen. So thank you, Teresa, for just always being an amazing person and spreading this information to our listeners. And also thank you for being so good to me. And thank you, Tony, for always being so good to me with some of the goodies.
From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Make sure you guys go check out what new things are happening on WFLA, like weird news. It's WFLAOrlando.com. WFL.